Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
He's Joel Blank, I'm Pat Trading for Jeremy Branham, right. And it is time for Who Said It?
It's a game show sweeping the nation.
The nation! Internationally, maybe soon. Brandon Riley is the master of ceremonies, and he is about to get things started.
So, Patrick, last week, Jeremy and Joel ripped off four straight correct answers to start it.
Yeah, we did.
Let's
be honest.
If Jeremy was in, I would probably set the goal at 5.
At 2.
No, if Jeremy was in, he should set it at 2, because he normally tries to talk me out of good...
You guys did so well last time, I think I'd have to set it at 5. That seems unfair. Patrick's only participated in this, I believe, once before, and it didn't go very well.
No, I've done it twice. Last time, it did go well. We won.
Oh, okay. Oh,
we
you're
won
right.
The no,
you are
yeah, we
right.
won the
we
second
won the
time.
Second time.
But you did struggle the first time, I remember.
First time I did struggle.
I want you to also know that going forward, Brendan loves this power trip he's on with like the game show, where he dims all the life in the producer's studio, so you just see the silhouette, just like the game show for Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and then he paces before he dials the phone and says, the number's 4.
The number is 3.
That's a bunch of BS.
You're dimming the lights.
At mybookie.ag, it was like at 2.5.
Well, they had the number wrong. It's going to be a 3.
Three, Creighton, don't let me down.
I think he's adding some. So he's putting a vig on.
It's
this.
Not fair, but we'll do it anyway.
All right,
put a vig on this.
We'll do it live. Let's go.
Number one, you better watch your tongue. I'll make one call, phone call, and you're done.
Who's got that kind of power?
You better
Sounds
watch
like John
your tongue.
Granato.
I'll make one phone call,
kinda
and you're
does.
Done.
I mean, I'm sitting here going, who's got the power and the cojones to basically say that on the air? And it can't be you because you're out. John Granato to me sounds like it too easy, but he's in the ball game. Is there anybody else? I don't see anybody on the wheelhouse saying that.
No, I don't think any of those
but
guys
here's
have
the thing. What is it in context to? Is it in context to? I mean,
I'll answer this question. I normally don't, but okay. I think it may matter here. So okay. I'll answer the question. It's in regards to ordering a. I guess ordering is maybe not the right way to put it. To hiring a hitman.
Hiring a hitman. So then, Pat, hear
okay,
me out.
Well, if it's
hear
in the rest of hiring hitman...
It sounds like it would be part of News of the Weird.
The wheelhouse was talking about a hitman yesterday.
Oh, were they?
Yes.
Okay.
And I don't know if it hit News of the Wheel, but I know it hit the wheelhouse because BK stayed on with me and I told the story about how a former client of mine was the Garden City hitman.
Oh.
Who got caught on camera... trying to hire a hitman and went to jail.
Now, I like this intel because I know Riley's not a guy that's an advanced thinker, an advanced scout, and picking these things up during the week, early in the week. So if it happened last night, now it's on you. Now, if you think it's a wheelhouse thing, which one of the people on the wheelhouse would be ballsy enough to basically say, you better be careful? Nope. I could see Jake doing it, trying to be, you know, like, but so, I don't.
I think the one with the most. Just off the cuff, talk the most smack is BK.
Okay, so now you first said Granato, now you're on the BK train, and you said you heard him talking about it last night, which is the one that's perked up my interest. So if we're going with that, then you're saying to me it's BK?
If I was picking one of those three guys, I would probably think BK.
Okay, let the record show. I'm going with Pat on this.
See, this is the lack of cojones. You know what? I'm too scared to make a pick. I'm going to let the guy that's never doing this.
My record in this game, I should have a separate studio for my grades.
Then make the pick, big
No, you already
guy.
Did. You
no,
already...
I didn't. I said if it were me, that's what I would think. I didn't say what you should think. Since you're the ass
Could you
kicker
see Jake?
In this game.
Okay, let's do process of elimination. Could you see Jake doing this?
I'm not gonna see him going to say no. I can say yeah.
I got you guys back.
I can see him
like
doing
that. Yeah.
I don't really see Cody doing that. Do you?
I think he'd be last on the list.
Okay. So it's between the two. And I will go with Pat. I will say BK.
I know more than you think, and you better watch your tongue.
You don't
make one phone call and you're done.
See, he can't use the you screwed me up because I told him to go with his guy.
You do. I will say you're very good at this game, but you do defer too often. You should probably defer a little bit less.
I really shouldn't. That's why I don't like having a teammate. That's why, because when we used to do this and I used to be the reigning champion of the world over and over again, it's because I was on my own.
Well, that's not fun. We need to make it difficult.
All right, so I am officially been benched by Joel.
No, you
only
haven't.
Joel
now
is
you
got to
save face. We got to get three out of the next four. Let's go.
All right, number two. You know, M&M's would be a lot better if they were more inclusive. You know, M&M's would be a lot better if they were more inclusive.
First reaction, Pauly G?
Yes, one of two. Pauly G or Cody to me. Because Cody's a food connoisseur. And he's a treats and snacks connoisseur and a sauce connoisseur. Those things I know. Like, when my daughter's softball team is selling candy, he says, use your best judgment to pick something I would like, but then we'll break down exactly why he likes or doesn't like what I picked. So I know that he knows his stuff. I don't think that's hip and cool enough. I don't think John and Lance are in that discussion. Do you? Because Lance is like a foo-foo foodie.
I don't see those guys worrying about what's inclusive.
Okay,
that's not like their genre.
I would tend to believe that this is either the wheelhouse or Pauly G. You know that Brendan, going into this, has a massive crush on Pauly G's abilities and his posters and all that other stuff.
You guys get a lot of things wrong because you lean on that.
And now that he doesn't have to share the microphone with anybody, he gets to say a lot more stuff.
You don't think anybody on the wheelhouse would say this? I think BK would say this. I think Cody would say this.
I understand your point for Cody.
So to me, it comes down to Cody or Pauly G. And
so what do you got?
You're going to make me pick it again.
You didn't pick it last time.
Well, I kind of deferred and you screwed it up. Pauly G.
You know, M&M's would be a lot better if they were more inclusive.
Lance.
I never would have guessed Lance in a million years.
Most of the time, you guys are at least on track. That was one you were not.
Way off on that one. Now I'm not happy at all. Now I got to salvage my weekend.
He hit us with a swerve.
I got to salvage my weekend by trying to get three in a row. Let's go.
That was a swerve.
Number three, I only punched the roof of my car twice. I only punched
Jake,
the roof
Jake
of my
can't
car
reach.
Twice.
Jake can't reach, so that's out.
Why are you picking on the leprechaun?
Okay, you just dropped that nugget.
You don't remember he came in dressed up as a leprechaun?
Yeah, I did.
You had to pay off? Why are you picking on the leprechaun?
I was in the damn studio. To me, first, right off the cuff, is Cody. Because I think he could... But he said car. He drives a truck.
Paul drives a car.
You're almost bad as Brendan driving the Paul bus.
Jake drives a Rogue, so he doesn't have a car. He's got a little SUV.
He doesn't have a scooter anymore?
No. I have no idea what BK drives.
I don't either. But I know that it's never on time. Man.
BK doesn't strike me as somebody who punches the roof, though. Like,
because he might break his hand. He's not gonna do any damage to the roof.
I don't see him being violent. I know Paul...
Paulie's got a temper.
Paul's got
it.
That in him where he'll just start punching stuff. I can see
Pauly
that.
Pauly G.
Only punched the roof of my car twice.
Is that Jake?
No, that's Paul.
Oh, okay.
Got it.
So we got it.
We're still
we
alive.
Right.
We're still
it.
Alive. Still alive. Two left to go.
Remember he had car issues this week? I thought
yes.
That was a dead giveaway.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, no, I didn't. And me normally thinking through that, and I did not. That's on me. Thank you to you, and thank you. We won that one.
All right, so if you can get both of these, you still win. Number
Thanks,
four.
Master, the obvious.
So if you want to go on a diet, don't watch food porn.
Who says the words food porn?
Cody or Lance?
I can see Cody. I don't know when, because usually when... See, I don't get to listen to the bench that often, because that's when I'm running my kids around to school. And
yeah.
They don't like to listen to sports radio. Well, I shouldn't say they anymore, because now it's just my daughter, and she doesn't like to listen to sports radio.
So if you want to go on a diet, don't watch food porn.
I think it's the
bench.
Is that
Jake?
Oh, see, I think it's the bench. I think it's a News of the Weird story, possibly.
All right. As I said, I could see Jake.
I could see Granato saying that. We already used Lance once.
I could see Jake poking Cody over something like that. that because that's like Jake's go-to is
true.
Let me make a food.
He makes
or
a lot of
joke.
Weight jokes for Cody. This is true. Man, Brendan, I already hate you this week.
He doesn't like you. I don't like you either.
Well, could you?
You
see-
best watch yourself. We're wanted men.
I don't
have
know
the
what
death
the hell
sentence
you're doing
on
now.
Nine systems.
I don't have any freaking clue what you're doing there, but there's I'm not pulling that quote out of my ass.
It's not the only thing you pull
where
out
were
of
you
that.
Using that? What was the context?
They were talking about diets and food porn, I guess. I don't even remember the context of this one.
I was just trying to see if you'd break it.
I don't remember the context of this one.
You want to go with Granato, News of the Weird?
He said they, so therefore Paul's out.
Yes.
You guys aren't discussing it.
But it wasn't going to be Paul anyway.
No.
So, you want to lean with News of the Weird?
We already used Lance, so it would be John.
Be John.
Well, I'll try John.
So, if you want to go on a diet,
tell
don't
me.
Watch food.
Tell
oh,
me.
My goodness. Okay, now this is just like last week, only more pressure. The last question, and it's all right. Let's get this one.
Yeah, I don't really care if you don't forgive me. And that's the quote. That's not me. Yeah. I don't really care if you don't forgive me.
Cody Stutes to someone on the wheelhouse that he has already taken a shot at, and he is just basking in it as he walks away and drops the mic. That was my gut react, as my initial reaction the minute I heard it. Like, I could see him offending Jake being offended, and him basically saying, I don't care that I've offended you. Dude,
I am agreeing with everything you just said. I am with you. That definitely is a, you know, Cody getting tired of getting dumped on, probably by Jake, getting tired of getting dumped on, pops off a quote and goes, sorry, not sorry. That is definitely, and we've already used John, we've already used Lance, we've already used Paul, we've already used Jake. That is definitely more of a Cody than a BK.
BK's not a threatening guy. He's a smartass, but he's not going to try and...
Cody has limits. There is a certain point where you push Cody far enough, and he will come back at you.
I'm trusting what you said. I'm going with my gut feeling. I'm going right from the jump. I said Cody.
I like the reasoning, but
Yeah, I don't really care if you don't forgive me.
Oh, BK,
the pain. See, it was another swerve.
Close, but no cigar. See, I told you the over under was too high.
It was a swerve.
Gosh darn it. It was a good effort. It was a good run. It was a good run. All right. We'll come back with more of the Killer Bees. Before we do that, hey, I want to tell you about my good friend Doc Linville again. I've been telling you about him for quite a while. Look, if you have lost a lot of your hair recently, and as you get older, you realize that you think the only option is to shave your head, it's really not. This neograft procedure has been absolutely mastered by the people at Doc Linville's office. I personally am biased, but think he does it better than anybody else. But what I really like is he takes care of ESPN listeners. If you've been losing your hair and you're thinning or balding and you're looking for some help, Doc Linville is here to help, and he will have a free consultation with you that normally costs $150 where you can see if it's right for you too. All you got to do is go to 975hair.com and you can sign up for a free consultation. And it's normally, like I said, $150 for everybody else. You listen to us, you get the consultation for free, and you can go in and ask all the questions that you want. How does the procedure work? How long does it take? What kind of swelling is there? How quickly am I back on my feet doing things? The answer to that is the very next day. Procedure normally takes less than a half a day. And the fact is the 95%+ of success rate for all the follicles that they're moving for you is exactly why I decided to do what I did and go with the neograft procedure that I'm encouraging you to do as well. That's because genetically you're never going to lose the hair on the sides and the back of your head. And they're going to take some of that hair and put it where you need it. It's going to grow. It's going to last. It's going to get stronger. It's going to get thicker. It's going to take about 6 to 9 months to see the full results. But once you do, it ain't going anywhere, people. It's going to be there for the long haul, just like you, hopefully, and you'll have your hair to boot. Check it out today. Tell them I sent you by. I love the people at Doc Linville. Get that free consultation. Go to 975hair.com.
Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees. On ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
So Joel is not a happy camper.
No, right? I'm not.
He's got some anger management problems he's trying to work out.
First of all, I haven't hit anybody, and I haven't threatened to hit anybody. I just don't like losing, and I don't like the fact that we were that close for the second week in a row with all the marbles rolling on the last question. That's clutch time. That's winning time. We didn't win.
I don't think Brendan feels you're going to go in there and punch him in the face.
No, he shouldn't. It's not that serious, but it might kind of put a dark cloud over my
unusually
the start
serious
of my weekend.
Theme. Yeah, you're like, see, really now, okay, bent so here's over
the thing.
This.
So here's the thing. For those that know me well and those that think they do, you don't. But for those that know me well, and you guys would be included in that, you know how competitive I am. Well, my mother-in-law has now gotten into the fray and enjoyed the fact that I'm too competitive. Because the other day, there was a small fly. We let the dogs out. And when the dogs came back in, a small fly got in the kitchen. And both my in-laws, who are in town, were like, you don't have any chance of getting that fly. I'm like, oh, yes, I do. And then I thought I got him, and I didn't. And my mother-in-law grabbed a towel and got him.
Oh.
She didn't let me live that down. She's brought it up at least 10 times, and she chuckles every single time. She goes, I know how competitive you are. I know how much this is bothering you. And you know what? She's right.
And she just keep poking at you. Poke.
So
poke.
Then I got one, and I got one outside, and she goes, doesn't count. Fly was too big. And my father-in-law goes, she's right. That wasn't as, that was way bigger than the one she got. I'm like, okay, stop it. So then last night, the girls were outside. They came in, and another, I go, first of all, can I get a ruling on the fly? Is it small enough? And I got my father-in-law to say it was. Then, just to make sure I could get off the schneid, even the score, and get her off my case with that, you're going to love this. And those that know me know why. I not only got it, I got it with my bare hand. I got it but didn't kill it so that I could save it, so that it could live, and I set it free outside so that my wife would be extremely happy. At that point, her mother could not even give me a hard time about it, and I could walk away and I could then breathe again.
I can't believe you didn't try to catch with chopsticks.
That's a commercial. Or no, that's
Mr. Miyagi.
Oh, whatever. Boy, you and your movie quotes. What the hell were you babbling? What quote? Dare I ask, what the hell quote were you reciting before that we had no clue?
You guys never watched Star Wars?
No.
Well, I can't help it if you...
I mean, I watched Star Wars way too long ago.
Yeah.
We don't do that.
Listen, if you don't know the Star Wars quotes, well, you might just be a bad person and you need to go say some All-Fathers and Hail Marys.
Or you might not be a good fill-in because you were doing a way too long quote at a time when we didn't need it.
Stand in the corner and face the wall.
Joel, you like to quote commercials.
Yeah.
That's a weird one.
Because they're current.
Yeah, they are.
Okay, there.
Still commercials.
So there you go.
Who watches commercials?
Apparently I do, because I watch a lot of sports.
But they're
on all
the
time. Every half inning, there's three commercials. Hate to break it to you.
That's what Twitter's for.
And you watch the commercials as opposed to, you know, look at your phone, get a drink, hit the restroom, anything other than watch the commercials.
I'm a
let the dog
marketing
out.
Guy for life.
Wait, you've got 11 dogs. Let all the dogs out.
No, not 11.
12?
Stop. No, stop putting. Don't put undue pressure on me with authorities coming at me. That is not true. We do not have 11 dogs.
Brendan, you hate Star Wars?
I hate Star Wars movies. Is fine.
Do you hate bacon?
I do hate bacon.
Yeah. He hates movies.
I don't know how you got there. That was wildly out of nowhere.
It was mentioned by one of our Twitchers that you hate bacon and Star Wars. And I'm like,
oh, I don't hate Star Wars.
What? How do you hate bacon?
It just tastes like crispy grease.
Then don't make it that way.
See, everyone ever has told me that the only reason I don't like bacon is because I haven't had it made right, and then they make it for me, and it still sucks.
Well, incapable of just not making super crispy bacon and that's super greasy?
Are you
incapable of it?
I've had bacon 100 times. It's never been good.
I've never had crispy, greasy bacon wrapped around a filet mignon.
This is the cilantro discussion to a different level, right? Because cilantro, evidently, they say through genetics, either tastes like soap to you or it tastes irresistibly delicious.
Do you hate well-endowed women?
No.
Just, you know, you don't like bacon, you don't like Star Wars. We got to make sure.
I don't have a problem with Star Wars. It's a little bit overrated, but it's fine.
There's too many of them, too. There were too many of them.
That's the whole point, it's a saga.
No, it was too drawn out.
It's fine. Like I really don't mind Star Wars. Like they're fine. They're just fine.
So you're not watching any of the Star? Are you watching the new Lord of the Rings series?
No. Again, you might now. You person. Just you might have switched categories. You may be one of those guys that don't know me as well as they think they do. Because the ones that do that are Killer Bees and members of the Hive. They realize I don't watch a whole lot more than sports, but if I do, it ain't anything that's that kind of stuff.
Before COVID.
News and sports.
I pretty much watched all sports all the time. Would have exceptions for things like
Star Wars.
Jeez. Lord of the Rings.
You
Law
Star
and
Trek
Order.
Too?
Oh, I love Star Trek.
Oh. Okay.
I was watching that stuff.
You dressed up for Halloween too?
No. Too old. Although the last time I dressed up, I did dress up as a Jedi.
Shocker.
Had the full Jedi garb.
Did you trick or treat and then say, want to see my lightsaber?
No, I don't do those things. Okay. I do hand out full size.
Did you wear pointy ears?
No.
Okay.
I did have an actual lightsaber.
I could see you doing. You go to Comic-Con?
No.
Would you, though? I think you would.
I went to the Renaissance
Let's
Festival.
Let's be real, Brendan. If he likes Star Wars and Star Trek, he's going to a Comic-Con if it ever presents itself.
I've never been to one.
And he's dressing up. And now you're jumping back on me.
I've never been to a Comic-Con. But
you dress up?
No.
Everything I see online, they look pretty cool.
Yeah, I would go.
People
I mean, I'm not even really into
these things.
I don't think I'm into many of the things that would be at a Comic-Con, but I just, like, I don't know. It seems like a cool event.
Yeah, that's what it is.
But if you're not into cartoons and comic books and superheroes and, like, Star Wars and such, why do you go?
If you're not into any of those things, do you have a pulse?
I don't know. I think events in general, like, there can be cool events.
I go to a concert, a movie, or a ball game, but, I mean, I'm not going to go to a Comic-Con.
I went to the Renaissance Festival for the first time.
I would never go to that either.
It was cool. It was fun. My kids had a great time.
Would you joust?
There was jousting.
I'm sure there was.
There was beverages.
Did you pull your sword out?
My son bought a sword. Well, I bought him a sword.
Oh, God.
Did
you get him a shield, too, so that he could defend himself?
No, just got him a sword. That was expensive enough. But my daughter bought some stuff. My son bought some stuff.
Did you yell huzzah a few times just for kicks?
We did yell huzzah.
Oh,
it was part of the show. There was a show where every now and then you had to yell huzzah.
Thank God this is a Friday show.
It was fun. Everybody, it was family fun, and everyone had a good time. I think Joel is just anti-having a good time.
Yeah, that's
unless it. He wins at something where he can say, I beat you.
What
Joel
part of winning?
Is angry and not having fun.
What part of winning is anything but fun? Why wouldn't I want to enjoy life by winning?
No, I just don't.
What's the alternative?
What is there that makes you happy besides that?
Find lots of enjoyment in lots of things. It just doesn't involve comic book characters, superheroes, and people that have pointy ears that fly around in space.
Or really anything else, apparently. Just kind of how that works out.
Would have had a lot more fun if I had a guy that could get me a right answer on the first question. I'll tell you that.
You did! He was you! And you didn't listen!
Now, forgive me for trying to be a nice guy.
There's going to be two potential stud players in the NBA draft this year, and Adam Silver knows it. What did he say? Next.
Hey, before we go to the break, again, tell you about my bookie. Big weekend coming up. College football. We got lots of college football. And, of course, NFL with a full slate starting with another early game from London. So you want to get ahead of the game and be a part of that early game? Well, you can put more money on it. You can put some money on it at mybookie.ag and make the most uninteresting game more interesting. And you have a chance to win, which would make it very interesting and very beneficial. That's the way they do things at MyBookie. They give you a chance to make sporting events even more interesting and give you a chance to win some money, too, in the process. Check them out right now. Go to MyBookie.ag. When you do, they're going to ask you for a promo code if you make a deposit, and that would be where you put in bet975. When you do that, you're going to double the money you put in up to $1,000, and that is going to give you more money in your account, more chances to bet on games, more chances to win on those games, and more chances to profit because you went to mybookie.ag. They take care of their customers in a variety of ways. Sure, you can bet all the games that I told you about, and you can bet all the sports that's going on, but you can also do Prop Builder, which is where you can pick a stat, pick a team, and pick a player, and make a stat bet out of it. And then with that Prop Builder, you have a chance to win without even to use a point spread or an over-under. It's fantastic. They take care of you whenever they get the chance, because they love having customers that stay loyal to MyBookie.ag. Right now, go to MyBookie.ag, put in the promo code BET975, watch your next deposit up to $1,000, double, and then get in on winning time as it gets going for another week full of sports. Check them out right now. It's MyBookie.ag, where you can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, with the only place I tell you to do it is MyBookie.ag.
Razor-sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
That Dahmer series is just I don't have any interest in watching.
Why? Because it's real?
It's not. I've already seen eight like, Dahmer movies. Do I like, need a series?
You like fairy tales and space stuff, but you don't like realistic. Like everybody knows, or most people that listen know, that I love documentaries. I like dramas. I like movies like that. And reality TV. I don't care for the unrealistic stuff that you get off on that is all based on like Comic-Con fun.
I'm not all that interested in, let me show you another version of a guy who eats people.
Okay, but it happened.
I know, and I've seen 20 movies about it. I don't
but it's real. Do you think that like there's such a thing as a lightsaber that could actually do damage to someone else?
Yes, absolutely. Kyber crystals are real, and one day somebody's going to come and put it right through you.
There's not a Sasquatch, but there's a Chewie. There's a Chewbacca somewhere
there's
out there.
There's an entire planet of Chewbacca.
Flying around in an electronic vehicle that goes into another galaxy. Okay, I've had enough.
And when this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're going to see some serious ish.
Mm-hmm. Is that Back to the Future or Star Wars?
Oh, look, I don't he know. Got it right. No, now we got a movie quote, finally. All right, there are going to be two really awesome players coming into the NBA draft. One of them is already just turning heads like crazy. Here is Kevin Durant talking about Victor Wembanyama.
That type of talent and skill, and it just puts a smile on your face if you play basketball, you know, because the evolution of the game is taking us this far. You know what I'm saying? We got 7'5" dudes who's able to do everything on the court, you know? So he's inspiring to a lot of people out here. I heard a comment, he said, like, somebody compared him to a few players in the league, and he was like, I think I'll do myself a disservice if I compare myself to one or two players. He wanted to take from everybody. I thought that was such a profound statement and made me a big fan of his. So the league's really in trouble when he comes in. And I want to see how it plays out, and everybody's been excited for his arrival to the league, so we'll see what happens.
KD sounded genuinely pleasant.
Well, you know why? Because after that, when he was interviewed during the ESPN telecast last night, because I was watching sports, I know it's shocking, he said Giannis and KD, guys he's looked up to and watched, patterning his game.
I thought it was pretty cool. KD didn't have to hide behind a fake name in order to say something nice about somebody.
You seen him play?
Very new. I saw a little bit of the game they played against the G League Ignite team.
Well, they played back-to-back games now.
I saw
against
one
the same team.
I saw one.
Because Scoot Henderson is, by most accounts, the number two pick in the draft. And he's really good, too. In game one, Victor had 37, and I think Scoot had 28 or 29. And both of them look like they're legit. But now let's also keep in mind they're playing against G League talent. But the one thing, when I watch, I'm going to call him the VW. When I watch the VW go, the thing that was impressive to me is, unlike Chet Holmgren, who had some ball handling skills, could bring the ball up the court, could shoot a little bit, this kid is fluid. This kid is athletic. And the play that really won me over, because he had a couple shots that reminded me and were reminiscent a little bit of KD, where I will turn and shoot it in your face and I can get it off over you and I've got a good shot. He came down on the dead run and he was heading to the corner. And he stopped on a dime, pulled up from three, squared his shoulders off before he released it, and it didn't touch the rim. It went straight through, and it was pretty. And I said, oh, no, 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 no. Now, this kid is different. And I think he's got a boatload of talent. If you're the Rockets, and this is your last shot to capitalize on your own pick, as much as I've said they're beyond embrace the suck, you better think long and hard about what you do this season if you got a chance to get that kid, or even Scoot for that matter. But I'm telling you right now, that kid early on, and I've talked to Mario Elie and some guys, we were talking this morning about it, he said he still has to show me more against like real grown men in NBA competition. That's fair, but boy oh boy, his ability to shoot the ball, his ability to be fluid and athletic with the ball at his size, and he still blocks shots and defends, he's winning me over in a short period of time.
Something I thought was cool was him and Scoot went directly at each other like six or seven possessions in a row. They just kept charging right up and down at each other, going back and forth, of which Wembanyama got a block on him, which kind of put the wind to his side. But those two guys went right at each other, scoring on each other multiple times in a row, which sometimes in these, you know, summer league type games, they don't go right at each other. Okay, well, we'll switch off. We'll screen. I'll get around you the side. No, they went right at each other.
Well, so much so that in this game yesterday that I was watching, they banged knees, and it looked like Victor got the worst of it, and then Scoot was out for the rest of the game because he had a bone bruise on his knee. But this ain't summer league. This is still the G League. This is competitive. You know, the Rockets G League team, the Vipers, they're in this thing and they're playing. And he's playing against some men, but he's not playing against NBA type competition. But unlike Chet, he doesn't look like he's got he couldn't compete right now. He does plays both ends of the floor. He doesn't seem to be overmatched by anybody. But his ability to shoot over people, and he has some room to make some improvements. He had three different opportunities to follow dunk, and he tried to lay it in. You're going to learn real quick. The easiest thing you could do at your size, just punch that thing through the rim.
Ask Patrick Ewing.
But, boy, is he good.
Here's Adrian Wojnarowski talking about Wembanyama on ESPN.
Victor Wembanyama is the singular greatest prospect in NBA draft history. Mm. He's that at 18 years old. He was also that at 17 and at 16. He's not coming out of nowhere. And the impact he's going to have on the NBA this season is dramatic. As one GM told me the other day, we are going to see a race to the bottom like we've never seen before in the NBA. Teams trying to put themselves in position to be able to draft Wembanyama or get the second pick and get Scoot Henderson, who in any other year would be a number one overall pick. But one team president said to me, drafting Wembanyama might add as much as $500 million to the value of your franchise. At 7'4", 7'5", in shoes, he is so advanced skill-wise. There's just never been anyone like him.
If I'm LeBron, I'm offended. And he has a right to be, because he's lived up to the billing and then some. But I think that even LeBron came out when he tweeted and said, this guy ain't a unicorn. I mean, he's like an alien. He's that rare. He's that, like, next level. And we'll see if he pans out to be that guy. Because, look, for every Chet Holmgren or, you know, next coming of this guy or that guy, there's a Hashim Thabeet that's 7'4", that's athletic, that can't put on weight, can't do anything to save himself, and he's done. I think that this guy's got a boatload of talent. I think that, like I said, it's so vitally important for the Rockets to try and get either guy. Because unfortunately, and maybe fortunately from a league standpoint, the lottery, you can't just embrace the suck, get the number one overall pick based on your record alone, and be in the great position to draft this kid. Your future and getting him relies on ping pong balls, no matter how bad you are, if you're one of the worst three, as we know. And this is their last chance for the foreseeable future to get in that lottery with their pick. So they better take advantage.
So Steph Curry called him up a 2K creative player. And I mean, as far as prospect, now LeBron became the elite player that he was,
but LeBron came in with the body of a tight end in the NFL, which these guys don't.
When they say prospect, I think when he says most intriguing, it's because how big he is, he's athletic, he shoots from the outside. These are things that you don't usually find.
I do want to push back just a little bit on the LeBron coming in with the body of a tight end. Like, he was more filled out than a lot of these kids are. But when you see pictures of rookie LeBron, he is not the fully built-out guy he became.
He's not as muscular overall, but he came in with a grown man's body already.
Definitely more than most of these guys.
They're not doing. They're just not physically near what he can. He came in, and we talked about it because I was still in the league at that point working, and we were like, the crazy thing is, this dude was like 6'9", whatever he is, and 250 plus, and he was flying. Like, literally, his jumping ability and his size and athleticism was something we hadn't seen in a long, maybe ever.
You're not wrong, he was more of a grown man, but I see pictures of LeBron from his rookie year, and it's like, you forget how much he still added as he grew into himself.
How big would you say LeBron is right now?
Oh, I don't
know. What do you
mean?
Height? Weight?
Weight.
260?
Now, when he first came into the league, he allegedly was 240 pounds.
That's only 20 pounds, but still.
And you fill out a little bit more. Look,
plus, when you get to the NBA, you're on a real workout program with a real dietitian, and the team's so you're adding way more muscle like, as opposed to what you
when
can do
Zion
in high school.
Came in the league, he was the heavy. He in college, he was 280. That was heavier than anybody other than Boban. When he came into the league, he was going to be the second heaviest player in the league when he came in. Now, LeBron wasn't going to be the heaviest or second heaviest when he came in the league. But unlike Zion, the difference with this kid is he may have weight to put on, but I think he's a better shooter, he's a better scorer, and he's a better defender than Zion coming in after 1 year, whether it be Duke or the G League.
I would agree with that. I think Zion, what makes him so incredible as a talent is, as big as he is, he jumps over the backboard.
Right, his jumping ability puts
and
him...
he can dunk on anyone from anywhere. He's just the power, the speed, the leaping, the athleticism for a guy who's, what, 6'8", 280 pounds. It shouldn't be there.
The comparable for him was LeBron, Zion.
Yeah.
But he had a ton to do offensively. The comparables for Chet started with KD, and I wasn't having it. I wouldn't even entertain it because offensively he was so far from being anywhere near Kevin Durant.
I don't think he's close to
KD. But when I see this kid offensively, I'm not saying he's there yet, but he could warrant being compared to Kevin Durant offensively.
So because you heard Adrian Wojnarowski say, GMs are saying there could be a race to the bottom. Teams deliberately trying to tank.
Believe it. Totally believe it.
Adam Silver said, I know that many of our NBA teams are salivating at the notion that potentially through our lottery, they can get him. So they should all still compete very hard next season. Kind of firing the bow of, I don't want to see blatant tankapalooza.
You don't want to see what happened when Duncan came in the league, when the Celtics and the Spurs and everybody just suddenly decided to remarkably lose close games and get blown out whenever they could.
David Robinson got hurt, and the Spurs decided we're not even going to try the rest of the season.
And they got away with it. They're not going to get away with it anymore.
But I am interested to see how many teams finish under 30 wins.
Oh, believe me, Rafael Stone's going to be... Tillman. All Tillman had to hear was that $500 million stat, and he and Rafael started having conversations.
Dollar. All right, coming up next, one of the Wheelhousemen will come in here and join us. We don't know which one. Apparently, it's lottery. Which Wheelhouseman do you think we will get today?
Jake.
Okay. Joel is going with Jake. I'm going to roll with Cody just because I'm going to pick somebody different. I have no idea who's here.
And I can tell you guys, I know it's not Jake. I don't know if it'll be Cody.
Well, you're the one that gives me all this advice to go with your gut feeling. I did, and look where it got me. I should go back
Joel
to being a nice guy.
Joel losing again and unhappy.
You shut
Film
your mouth.
At 11. Next.
Razor-sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Joel Blank, Patch Creighton in for Jeremy Branham, now joined by Brad Kellner of the Wheelhouse.
The reason why I lost, who said it? I lost it. Because I didn't think you would be that guy.
I thought you would listen to our show.
I do, normally.
Not often enough, I guess.
Well, his in-laws are in town. You got to cut them all.
Look, I was conditioned.
Yeah, I figured that's more of a reason to listen to the show.
No, plus I was conditioned that when you're not on the show, there's nothing worth listening to. So I figured you were just out again because you've missed like 13 days this month with Jewish holidays.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the compliment.
And evidently you don't care, and that's what cost me.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I know you were fasting, and then you had a significant feast. Did you feast last night?
I did. What did I feast on? Oh, no, I grilled burgers last night after getting home.
How many?
Two.
I thought you'd be like Joey Chestnut, preparing yourself for the next loss that you're going to have to pay off a bet for and eat like 10 of them.
It's not a bad idea.
I mean, at least you could have prepped, right?
Yeah, I really should
be
doing that.
The esophagus, the boiler room.
Because
no?
We've got season-long payoffs, and we also have monthly payoffs, yeah. And I already lost the first month, and odds are I'm going to lose every month this football season, so I really should be preparing myself for extra punishment.
Can't you just make your picks after you talk to your dad and use his picks?
That's a good idea. He usually doesn't give his picks out
Jake
until day
lost
of.
The first round. He had to dress like a leprechaun.
No, that was from last January.
You guys got too much going on.
I know. Yeah,
might as well just make every day Halloween. Everybody comes in a costume every day, and then everybody's lost a bet.
I bet your dad puts up a column on the internet.
You're not talking about his real dad. You're talking about
they're gambling.
His gambling debt.
Is there a difference?
I bet he puts up a column on the internet that you could probably steal from, and your co-host would not be slick enough to figure it out.
He may be onto something here.
That's a great idea. He does, on his paid phone service, which I'm a member of, he doesn't give his picks out until the day of the game.
Whoa.
That's the question.
You are a member of.
Mm-hmm.
Not the tribe now. We're talking about the fact you are a member of this where you are getting paid for, you're paying for gambling information, and you obviously are not using it. He's not winning.
No, he doesn't give the picks until the day of the games. So for college games, it's Saturday. For NFL games, it's Sunday. Mm-hmm. My problem is the Wheelhouse of Fortune happens on Friday. I'm winning money with him on the weekends, but I can't use his picks on the show.
You're also promoting him. He can't do you a solid and give you a couple on the slide?
I'm sure he could.
I think you might want to capitalize on that. I was really concerned about you the last couple times that you had to pay off these bets.
But I also like my father, and I think I have the ability to change the outcome of games. So if he gives me his picks and I bet against them during the Wheelhouse of Fortune, he's going to start losing his picks, which is going to lose him business. So I like the guy too much to do something like
Pat
that.
Pat thinks Darth Vader's his father.
Hmm. Is he?
That'd be pretty damn cool.
See, because he's one of those guys.
He's Luke's dad, isn't he?
Yeah, I don't sign up for that.
If Darth Vader was your dad, you could force choke people. I would be force choking people all day long.
Like, are you a Comic-Con guy?
Dude, I've never seen any Star Wars.
Thank you.
I don't really
know.
This
is why I like him even more. That's why BK and I get along. Because he, not only is my favorite wheelhouseman, but he has a rational sense of what's entertainment. You going off on these comic book characters and superheroes and Star Wars and pointy-eared Spock guy.
You've already admitted your weekend is ruined because you didn't win Who Said It.
Look, I'm already
I think I'm well, way more well-adjusted than you are. All right, BK, conversation Joel and I were having earlier. What does your Astros outfield look like for the playoffs?
What does my Astros outfield look like for the playoffs? Chaz McCormick is my center fielder.
Who's your left fielder?
I'm putting Yordan out there.
Ooh.
I know that's controversial to some.
You just lost Joel.
Yeah.
Lost you too.
He looked like he just ate like a Hatch chili.
You guys are Trey Mancini?
Yeah, no, he is.
Who are you?
I am Jake in center, Chaz in left.
Okay. I want to be there, but with what I saw from Jake Myers, not offensively, like defensively. I know he looked so much better at AAA, but just he looked scared out there. Like, I don't know if I could trust Jake Myers to be that glove. PC, I know how much you idolize defense. I know how valuable that is to you, but I just don't know if we're going to get elite Jake Myers defense like we saw before he got hurt.
Well, and I said when he went down, he had to get right. He had to get right at the plate and look like not look like a deer in the headlights and look overmatched. And defensively, to your point, he needed to show that he was over the phobias of the wall, the warning track, and diving on that shoulder. He proved a lot of people in that short stint back up that he's back to hitting again, that major league hit pitching isn't too much for him. But I agree with you. He didn't really have – he made a couple of nice running plays, but I didn't – I can see where you're coming from and saying I didn't see enough to say that he's over the phobias in the outfield.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where I'm at too. I mean, look, if Jake Myers is end of last season Jake Myers, then I can get down with that. I just don't know if he's there right now.
I'm sure I watch more Sugarland Space Cowboys games than anybody else in town.
Yeah.
But from what I saw from him as he went back down to the minors and, you know, rebuilt his confidence and found his swing, he looked like the old Jake Myers. And he came up here and in his first game had two hits off Shane McClanahan, one of the best pitchers in baseball.
I'm not questioning his hitting coming back, like I said, but defensively I got to know that he's going to climb a wall, dive in the outfield, and we're not going to worry about either him coming up lame or can't throw it past, you know, past his shoe tops or is afraid to get on the warning track.
Well, if the issue is he comes up lame and it's going to be out, well, then you're stuck with Mauricio Dubon.
He looks like a shot putter. When he left to go down the last, he looked like he was shot putting when he tried to throw a ball.
Well, it's funny because they had talked about, Dusty said he didn't think he was ready, that he wasn't healthy. And our idea from the front office was it was in his head. He wasn't willing to let loose.
I think a lot was
in his head. Talked to Gerald Sanchez, who's their play-by-play guy normally, and he said that when he was back down there, he was firing the ball.
Okay.
So based on everything that I heard, the games that I watched, I feel like he is ready to be the guy that he was expected to be. And I want Chaz in left field because, I think he's hitting better than Mancini. He is 10 times the outfielder that Mancini is. He's certainly better than Diaz in the outfield. that's the guy that I'm rolling with. I want to back up my pitchers.
So who's at first base?
Yuli.
Okay. So Mancini's coming off the bench?
Mancini's coming off the bench.
Yeah, look, he hasn't been as hot down the stretch as a lot of people wanted him to be. So I understand the skepticism there, but I can't go with Chaz and Jake.
So who's
Meyer
your pinch runner
right
if you're gonna? Because I think there's not enough pop in your outfield. So if you're gonna play both Chaz and Jake in your hypothetical lineup, then you, if Dubon's not on the roster, then you don't have a pinch runner.
Who am I pinch running for?
Late in the game, you might pinch run for a lot of guys.
The only guy that I'd pinch run for would be Machete, and I can.
You might pinch run for Yuli if you know that you can replace him with either a Mancini and or.
I can go with David Hensley and let him run.
I didn't know that you put. I thought I didn't think he made the roster.
No, either. I had Hensley on the roster. I had him over Dubon.
Creighton, you've already crossed too many lines for me. I'm just going to enjoy my weekend. I'm done with you.
Joel is not going to enjoy his weekend because we know that losing. Who said it means that Joel will have a terrible weekend and he'll be very angry all weekend long. BK, what's coming up on the Wheelhouse?
We've got Mia O'Brien who covers the Jags in Jacksonville joining us. Joe Fortenbaugh, 6:15, giving out some winners. And should next year's Texans try to be this year's Jags? We'll talk about that too.
Wheelhouse is coming up next.
I commend you for knowing what's coming up.
Yeah, BK, Cody, Jake. Don't know which one knows what's coming up, but BK does. He's Joel Blank. Appreciate you having me in with you today. Brendan Riley on the other side of the glass. Patrick Creighton in for Jeremy Branham, who on Monday will probably have his voice back. Have a great week at H-Town!